Stay tuned for The Lynn Show. This month, I am rebroadcasting some of the most remarkable interviews I've done over the last few years. And today's interview certainly qualifies as one of the most remarkable. I did this interview about 2 years ago when Lillette Jenkins Weisner was closing in on her 84th birthday. Listen to the unbelievable story of a woman who started her career at 3 and is still hard at it. As Lillette says, if my feet hit the floor and my hands hit the keys, I know I'm okay. Hang on. Here come the show.
Hearing from an inner voice, finding choice where there's no choice, with gentle prodding from the voice. Oh, you really can. Deeper, deeper down from nowhere, sitting in my own soft lap, with all the time for us to chat, and my resources all on tap.
Hello, and welcome to The Lynn Show. The Lynn Show is all about you. It's all about all of us. It's all about the fact that although we're rarely aware of it, all of us, dare I say all of us, well, maybe there are a couple of you out there for whom this is not true, but in my experience, all of us are hiding significant portions of ourselves in what I call undercover. And this is not a lie. This is simply what we believe. We believe that these parts of ourselves do not exist. We learned early in our lives that these parts of ourselves had better get hidden for our well-being, our security, our safety, our place in the system. Any number of reasons that we learn that there are things about ourselves which must not be exposed. However clever and necessary and essential and self-protective this was when we created it, later in life, these very qualities which we have so carefully hidden undercover, this is what I call it, hiding it undercover. And then what we present, what we show the world, what we believe is really us, that's our cover story. so later in life, sometimes our cover story is not enough to get us what we want and need. And sometimes the very thing we need is something we already have, but have hidden undercover, not only from others, but from ourselves. And this show is all about making that point, saying that over and over again, and hoping that as you listen, and as you hear me talk about why we have to hide things undercover, how we can identify the things that we have hidden undercover, what it looks like when you are what they call in the psychotherapy biz congruent, and I have the right to use these terms as a psychotherapist. Sometimes I forget to say that. I'm a psychotherapist. I've been in practice for a very long time. Licensed in California and Florida, but my entire practice is on the phone at this time. But I don't have time to talk about much of that now, because today I am playing an interview I did with someone who completely demonstrates the point I'm trying to make here. Someone who is completely, terrifyingly herself. And that is Lilette Jenkins Weisner. This is a remarkable, amazing story. I'm not going to say very much more because I don't have that much time. Because I not only want to play the entire interview, I want to play at least portions of two cuts from CDs that Lilette gave me. And I'm going to start out by playing her version of Good Morning Heartache, a standard jazz tune. And then at the end of the show, I'm going to play another song. But I think I'm going to stop talking now so you can listen to Lilette play and sing, and then you can listen to this amazing story and hear what I hope you'll hear, which is what it sounds like when you're not second-guessing yourself, when you are completely congruent.
Good morning, heartache. You old gloomy sight. Good morning, heartache. Thought we said goodbye last night. I tossed and turned until I thought you were gone. But here you are with the dawn. Thought I'd forget you, but you are here to stay. Seems like I met you when my love went away. Now every day I start by saying to you, good morning, heartache. What's new? Stop haunting me now. I just can't shake you, no how. I want you to leave me alone, 'cause I've got those Monday blues, straight through Sunday blues. Good morning, heartache. Well, here we go again. Good morning, heartache. You're the one who knew me when. I might as well get used to you just hanging around. So good morning, heartache. Sit down. Stop haunting me now. Cause I just can't shake you no how. Good morning, heartache. Well, here we go again. Good morning, heartache. You're the one who knew me when. I might as well get used to you just hanging around. So good morning, heartache. You old Mr. Heartbreak. Good morning, heartache. Sit down.
I'm here with Lolette Jenkins Weissner.
The English pronunciation is Wissner. German pronunciation is Weissner. That's all. It's just that simple.
And anyway, I'm going to call you Lolette.
That's all.
If that's okay.
Knows me
right.
By that name
right.
Anyway.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they do. Mm-hmm. And you were...
At one time, that's the only name I used.
Lolette.
I used my full name. I used Lolette.
Long before there was Cher and Madonna.
That's right.
There was Lolette.
Oh, I was here long before that, yep. I spelled it differently. I spelled it L-Y, L-L-E-T-T-E.
So was this a name you took for yourself? Or
no, it's my real name. But since I was just going to use one name, It seemed like it looked better spelled that way, you know, for publicity. You know.
Well, in your business, people change their names all the time.
Yeah.
So So you were lucky to get a name that's very theatrical.
Yeah, it's my real name, and I kept it all my life.
Yeah. So, now, we were talking earlier about you having been born in New York City, in Harlem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was born in Harlem.
A long time ago. Yeah, do you mind my saying how old you are? Is it for public consumption, or is it a...
Nah, it doesn't matter. I'm heading for 85. I'm 84, heading for 85.
In February. Mm-hmm. We're right around the corner. Wow. And I know you told me that this is your 72nd year in the business.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you started when you were...
In my teens.
In your teens.
Mm-hmm. That's when I was playing professionally. I was doing...
You were playing professionally in your teens?
Oh, yeah.
So when did you start to play?
Well, when I started to study, I was studying since I was about, let's see, 5 or 6, I started studying. When I was 12, I received a scholarship to continue studying classical music, which is what I wanted to do.
You wanted to play classical music?
Well, that's what I studied. I was studying to become a classical concert pianist.
Really?
And, yeah. I was awarded a couple of music scholarships, and that's what I was doing.
So, clearly, your parents thought this was a good idea.
Oh, they loved the idea that I wanted to play, because they loved music, but, you know, it was 9 of us.
Nine kids?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you in the birth order?
At the top.
You're the oldest? Really?
There were no musicians in my family. They loved music, but nobody played music.
Really?
So they were thrilled when they realized that was what I wanted to do. You know,
how did you discover it so
well,
early?
Well, because I could play anything. I realized I could play anything I heard. You know,
at 6?
I heard a song, you know, if I heard a song, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you must, did you
I
have
was,
a piano?
I was before, I was, no, I didn't, we didn't have a piano. My mother had a friend that lived, we lived in an apartment building, and she lived upstairs over us, and she had a piano.
Uh-huh.
And I used to go up there and play on her piano, you know, and all these little things I heard, you know. So I used to go up and entertain her all the time, and she loved that, you know.
Were you getting ready to say that you were doing this before six?
Oh, yeah. I could play what I heard, you know. I could find it on the television, play it. Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing gift.
Yeah, well, it is a gift. It's something you can't explain. It's just something that's
you got.
There.
Yeah, that's right. All. Right. It comes with the territory of being you.
I just know that if I heard it, I could play it, you know, and my parents realized that. And my mother's friend that lived upstairs where I used to go and entertain her, she told my mother that she thought I was very talented, and if she could afford to give me music lessons, that she would give me her piano book.
Wow.
And she did, and that was the first piano I ever had.
She gave you the piano?
Yes, she gave me her piano.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So that was my gift.
And so your parents did give you music lessons, then,
oh,
obviously,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yes, and then that's how I... And then
but that must have been...
I was awarded a couple of music scholarships to continue, and that's...
I mean, that must have been something of a struggle with nine children.
Believe me, it was...
No kidding, I mean...
Well, they didn't have to do it very long, because like I said...
You got scholarships, yeah. Right away. Clever of you.
Yeah, so I studied, and then I got a scholarship to New York College of Music, and another for NYU. So. And I studied at Westminster Choir College later years, because I wanted to study pipe organ. Because I was asked so much to play in churches, and I wanted to be prepared to do that.
Yeah.
So I studied pipe organ, and I became minister of music several times in different churches, you know, because I enjoyed religious music, and I loved classical music. And then during World War II, I decided I would go into the jazz field, because the military men and women, you know, I thought that they were more into the jazz and the popular music.
And you wanted
than
to play for them.
Been in, yeah.
Yeah.
And when they'd ask me if I would make these trips overseas entertaining the military, that's what I did.
Well, now let me see. How old would you have been then?
When
like 41?
Yeah. And you mean when I was in the USO?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was in, let's see, I went over, I was here in 43, 41, yeah.
So yeah. If you were born...
I was 20.
Yeah, in your early
20s. 20. I can't keep up with these.
Well, the reason I asked
20
is...
20 or 21, something like that, but I was legal age.
Oh, yeah, that's not why, I was asking is that's mm-hmm. an interesting time to change your style. You know, here all along you're playing classical and religious music, and then suddenly in the early 20s mm-hmm. you decided to play mm-hmm. jazz?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could play it because, you know, like I said, if I heard it, I could...
You could play it, right, of course.
You know, so I decided to learn a lot of the popular ballads and music that was played by the big orchestras and things like that, you know, because they could relate to those things. You
right.
know, they heard the... songs, and they could relate to their friends and relatives.
Sure, of course.
So it meant a lot to them, so that's why I did that. You know, I would still play classical things, you know, if I was doing just like private parties or something like that for them, I would play a variety of music, you know, but for the, as a matter of fact, the one that I did here, that I was, when I was working here in 43 was the Municipal Auditorium, the one on mm-hmm. 41,
yeah.
That's where they used to entertain the military.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Well,
was it a kind of a USO? Or?
That's what it was,
yeah.
The USO.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's where they used to entertain the military.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, because we've been talking about it before, that you were all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, many times.
Many times, mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. And as you say, you were in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm. That's where I was when I left here in 43, and that's where the
you went to the Middle East. You went to the Middle East in 43?
Yeah, well, that was in World War II.
Where did you go?
Same places where that Iran. Well, see, at that time it was in Iraq.
Iraq, right.
Persia. Since then, of course, it became known as Iran. And that. Mm-hmm. But it's the same places where
That's right.
We used to, they used to send us to entertain them.
Was it dangerous for you at all?
Believe me.
Really?
Sure. Well, anytime you're running around doing wartime, it's serious.
Were you scared?
Yeah, sure. But I was determined to get it done. We had to follow the military around. Wherever they were, we had to be there. That was the thing.
You know? Who asked you to go?
Dick Campbell was one.
So how did you know them?
Well, he knew me because I was playing in New York. So he asked me would I organize a group.
So you just pulled together a group of people and you put together a
band? I knew. Yeah, mm-hmm. A singer, dancer. Well, you have to have a variety show.
Right.
Comedians. So that's what it was. And we put them all together and made up a nice...
Went on the road.
Tour on the road. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because then you had a lot of vaudeville entertainers mm-hmm. during that era.
Right.
Know, and they were really entertainers at that time.
Yeah.
It wasn't noise, it was entertainment.
Yeah, right. I'll bet.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. I organized that and got everybody together and we did our thing, went from one country to the other.
Wow. Do you remember that as a pleasant thing or as a difficult thing or as an exciting thing?
It's a little of everything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in wartime, you know, you're at the mercy of whatever.
Right.
Whatever happens, yeah, we ran into a lot of difficulties. Matter of fact, we even lost some of our former
staff. You're kidding.
Oh, yeah, some of them. Plane crashes, some of them died. My daughter's godmother was a fantastic musician and a singer. She had her own group, but they were captured.
They were captured? Why would they capture the entertainers?
Oh, yeah. Well, those things happened a lot during wartime. Depends on where you were and what time you were there. And but we tried to accompany the troops wherever they were stationed, you know. It's just a chance.
Yes.
It was a heck of a chance to take, but we all did it. Some of us made it, some of us didn't get back.
Yes. And I think you said three wars.
Yeah, well, I was involved in three different wars.
World War II, Korea, and Vietnam?
I didn't go overseas for that one. I did the entertainment in the States.
Yeah.
You know, because they also entertain in different areas.
Like training camps?
Yes. Did that quite a while. So those are the three that I was involved in.
those are the only three, really, in your lifetime. I mean, you know. Wow. So...
Yeah.
You've done everything. Before we started the interview, I got a chance to look at a kind of scrapbook of Lillette's, and there's everything in there. There's no area of music that you did not only take part in, but excel in. So is there something you mostly like to do?
What I do is what I love to do. That's the reason why I could never limit myself to one particular style of music,
mm-hmm.
even, you know, because I enjoy doing so many different things musically,
yeah.
You know, that I just felt as if I had to be a part of that particular style of music wherever I happened to be. I didn't want to limit myself to just doing one thing because I know the music business is a very unpredictable business.
You know?
Today you're working, tomorrow you're on the street. I wanted to protect myself as a performer and as an artist because I knew what it entailed,
right?
To do what I had.
It's the nature of the business.
It is definitely so.
So you did everything.
That was the reason why I was trained classically. I did that, and I went into the religious field when I studied at Westminster Choir mm-hmm. College because that college is strictly for religious training. And I loved what they did, so that was how I got involved with the organ, you know. But then I got involved with the guys in the orchestras and the big bands doing vaudeville time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I got into the jazz thing, you
yeah.
know. But I wanted to protect myself so that when one thing wasn't available, I, at least I would have knowledge of something else
right.
in music that I could...
That you could do.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. that was really my main reason for doing what I did. And then while I was doing the Broadway musical in New York, I was doing One More Time. Mm-hmm. Two of the producers from All My Children came to the theater one night to see the show.
Uh-huh.
And after the show, they came back to my dressing room and was telling me how much they enjoyed my work, my playing, and they wanted to know if I would be interested in playing a funeral on their show, because one of the, he was very popular during that era, Dr. Grant,
mm-hmm.
and he was leaving the show, so they wanted to
do a big thing,
something, you know, mm-hmm. a nice memorial for him. So they asked me, could I play the organ? And I said, yes, I did. So they asked me if I would do it. I told them, if you feel that you can use my talents, I'll be available. So they called me back and asked me if I would do it. So I went to the studio, and I told them, I said, give me the cast for about a half hour,
mm-hmm.
and I'll see what I can do about teaching them something that they could sing at the memorial. I wanted something that was recognizable because he was a very popular black actor at mm-hmm. that time. So I wanted to do one of the gospel numbers, you know, that would represent his particular style of performing as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I taught them a gospel song. It's called Soon and Very Soon.
Mm-hmm.
Very popular gospel number. And they got the biggest kick out of that. Oh, my goodness. So I got them to do that for the funeral. After the funeral, the producer came back and she said, boy, you all did some job today. So she said, you know, I could see you in a nightclub in New York, you know, a club that you own, you know, and you play this club, you know, all this, she's giving me all of this.
Yes, she's writing the script as she's talking, right?
Exactly. So she said, you think you'd like to do something like that? And that is how I got on the show, and they called the club the Nexus Club.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I performed. I owned the club, and I was hostess, and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that happened in Pine Valley, mm-hmm. which was the location of the show, everything that happened in Pine Valley, they celebrated in my club. All the Susan Lucci's engaged or not in marriage.
Right.
Something like that. But everything, you know,
importance happened, right.
Receptions and parties and everything. So we had a lot of fun with that. But I just wanted to...
To do whatever, whatever it could
whatever
be.
Whatever I could, you
right,
know.
Right.
And then I had an accident and I broke my right hand.
Oh, my God. How did you do that?
I fell. I was coming out of a club, and it had rained really bad there for quite a while. And I slipped. Next thing I knew, I was on the ground.
I bet that hurt like hell, too.
It was hanging off like it didn't belong to me.
Oh, my goodness.
And they got me to the hospital. The doctor asked me, what did I do? And I told him, he says, well, you're not going to do that anymore. I said, you're lying. Yeah, he told me I wasn't going to use it anymore because that was a pretty bad break. But that was when I made up my mind that I was going to do what I could for me. I said, that's his opinion. Now I have my opinion.
Right.
You know, because I couldn't see myself sitting up here the rest of my life with one hand. You know,
oh my goodness.
And tell me about I'm going to have a very bad case of arthritis because
of the break.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened? I mean, I'm looking at that hand and it's doing fine.
I see. Well, it swells occasionally, but
yeah.
I don't even worry with that. I insist that it works.
You insist that it works. I love that. I love it.
Well, I did. It took me a year.
What did you do?
Well, I had to have therapy. You know, and I mm-hmm. had to have, what is that thing?
I don't
paraffin,
know.
Paraffin wax.
Yes,
I had
right.
to have that every day.
Dip your hand. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
right. And so did it grow back together, or did the bones knit, or whatever they
well,
do?
Well, as much as they could.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were afraid of you.
Like I said, it's still,
yeah. I see that. But they were afraid of you because...
Because I insisted that they...
That's right. That's right.
They danced. Well, so what else am I going to do if I don't play?
Right.
I didn't. And I worked hard with that. And I was doing all my children when that happened.
You didn't... So what did you...
Well, they allowed me to use my own wardrobe all the time that I was there because they said my wardrobe was appropriate.
I'm sure it was. Doing. Yeah, right.
So they didn't have to provide any anything for me. And then I would wear my long sleeve gowns, you know, so that I could cover.
So did you have a cast?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Could you play with the cast?
No. But no, it is true. But I put my hands up on the keys.
And you played with one hand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you played with one hand?
Yeah, it happened the last few months that I was with the show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
I put that hand up there.
There?
Mm-hmm.
And made
hand,
a lot of music with one hand. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I couldn't move this around very much. Play it with my left hand. And a lot of classical music is written for left hand only. A lot of it. And I learned, that's how I learned to use my left hand.
Oh, that's right. It's your left hand.
No, it's my right hand, but
that's hurt. Yeah, but your left hand is the one that you were playing with. I see.
In so many different ways. I can use it as for melody. I can use it for chord changes. And I did it for a long time because I couldn't use the right hand.
So, you know, I'm just curious. This strength of conviction, this mm-hmm. certainty, this, I don't even know what to call it, where do you think you got this?
I haven't the slightest idea. I don't even know why I'm still playing.
Well, because you won't stop. You know? I mean, were your parents like this? So single-minded and, you know, strong and...
Oh, very strong. Oh, yeah. Well, you have to be to have that many children.
Yeah, no kidding. And, to raise that many children. You don't have to be so strong to have that many children, but to raise them, you do.
And
did you have children?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got five of them.
You have five children. I'll bet you have a mess of grandchildren then.
Yeah, got about. Let me see if I can count them. I think it's about 12 of them.
Wow.
I got 9 great-grands.
Oh, my gosh.
And I will have 2 great-greats in January. Mm-hmm. So
and
it's 5 generations.
Are any of your kids musical?
Mm-hmm. They don't, not instrumentally. 2 of them are fine singers.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I'm not concerned about your careers. You do what you want to do with you, as far as your career is concerned, you know. But I would like for you to make music a part of your life.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be your profession.
Right.
If it's something else you like to do, that's fine, you know. So, but I always wanted them to have music as inclusive in their lives. And they have. And that's what I wanted them to do. Not necessarily as a profession, but music is one thing that can help keep a family together.
No, it's absolutely true.
They can have more fun when nobody else does.
Well, and anyway, it's such a gift.
Well, music allows you to express yourself in a way that nothing else can. You can't talk about it. You can't read about it. It's just a feeling that comes from within.
Yes, and if you don't have it, it's very hard to describe to somebody else.
No, because you can't.
Yeah.
No. Music is the only thing in this world that every human being can connect soul to soul. Every human being. In some style of music. It doesn't have to be any particular. But it's always something that will connect them spiritually.
Yes.
With music.
And it's clear because all of the religions use it.
Of course, everybody
right?
does.
Right.
You can't hardly find a decent show or decent anything
that where they're not using
music.
Right.
It does, because music will get everybody together when they can stand up there and make their big speeches or whatever it is they have to do.
And then they play.
But the music will
get them together. That's right. That's
it
exactly
does it all
right.
the time. Sure.
So. You know that you've had an extraordinary life. I mean, I don't.
Yes.
I'm not. Right.
No, I'm not denying that. I tell you, every day I get up and put my feet on the ground and my fingers on the keys, I'm blessed.
Yes, and so is anybody who hears you.
No, I don't take it for granted. I lost so many of my colleagues and all that I grew up with. Everybody seemed to have left me.
Forgive me, I mean, if you don't want to talk about this, but what is it like to have everybody sort of leave?
It's frightening.
Yes, I imagine it is.
Support, we were so close.
Right? Yeah, it's your support.
We were always a very close family, you know, and anywhere I was, anything I did, they would be there to support me, you mm-hmm. know, whatever they were doing.
So, do you know a lot of people here?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you have a support system here?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's from 43. That was the first time that I met a lot of people here, you know. Of course, Sarasota wasn't like it is now. Sarasota was...
No.
No,
there was nothing here.
It was a no-no. Mm-hmm. But since then, it has done this little thing.
Mm-hmm. Are you playing here now?
It's into the season now, so I'll be going back into doing a lot of concert work. You see, a lot of them book a year ahead. When they come in. Like a lot of the work that I have to, that I will have to do now, it was booked last year.
Wow.
Before they left.
Yeah, so you already know what you're going to be doing.
So several things that I will be doing between now and the spring has already been booked. So they do that.
Yeah.
On a yearly
basis. That's great.
So that they'll have everything that they need.
Yeah, they don't have to hit the ground running when they come, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And it's great for you because you know what you're doing.
Yeah, so a lot of it is worked like that, you know, and then they're... And then the rest of the time I try to devote to the nursing homes and to the centers because during the holidays they need that, Lord knows.
I have
to get them out of those chairs and get them up to on their feet to do a little hip wiggling or something.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, yeah, I do it all the time.
I was thinking about how amazing it is that you can continue.
Oh, yeah. It's hard.
It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. And there's been so much loss. You know,
And I mean, 99%.
Yeah, no, it's clear, and you know, and you clearly know something that a lot of people need to know about surviving and continuing to live and keeping on.
That's true. It has been very difficult, and it gets more scary as it goes on because of conditions today. I never thought I'd live to see the time I would be afraid to go out at night.
Yes.
Not me. At nighttime was when...
When you always were out.
Always out, till the sun came up.
Right.
Mm-mm. Can't do it. Yeah. You can't stay home. You can't go out.
It's learning to live in an entirely new world
in
for which...
isolated
In an isolated... Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
That's what it is.
Yes.
I mean, during my time when I was... You know, performing and traveling and doing all this. Nothing bothered me. If I had somewhere to go that was long distance,
mm-hmm.
I would leave at dusk at mm-hmm. night.
Right.
And I would drive all night.
Wow.
Yeah, I always enjoyed driving at night because you had
less
traffic
on the road,
to worry
right.
about, mm-hmm. and I would follow these big trucks because they would really...
They were cooking,
doing,
right?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
They'd be driving 80 miles an hour, and uh-huh. I'd be right behind them, you know. And I could get where I'm going, you mm-hmm. know. And by daylight,
you're there.
I was there. So I never dawned on me that I couldn't do these things anymore.
Yeah.
Never dawned on me. And, you know, wherever I had to go, I was there on time.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking, and this I think is true, lots of people are living longer, you know,
mm-hmm.
and not everybody's living to 85, and not everybody can be doing what you're doing at your age. I mean, it's amazing and wonderful, and still, the world that we grew up in, it doesn't exist, you
mm-hmm.
know,
no.
and it's changing so fast now.
That's right.
that you know, to stay able to function in the world, it's a challenge.
Hard, yeah. Well, you see, years ago, everyone looked after each, you know,
yes.
we all looked after each other.
Yes.
You know, you were never alone.
No.
Never, you know, whether it was in church, whether it was in school, because I taught school for several years, you know, to keep the same hours as my children until they graduated, you know. and things like that. I had no problems.
No.
No problems with those things. You know, there was always somebody there for something, whatever it was you
right.
needed.
Even just company. Somebody. Even just, you know, right, somebody to hang with. Right?
Yeah, I never had that problem, you know. So all of a sudden, you know, you end up living in an isolated society. You know, it's no longer we. It's everything is me.
Me.
And it's scary.
It is.
Very frightening.
And even more courageous that you're doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. But I just feel as if it has to be done.
But you always have, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Just feel as if it has to be done.
I wish I knew where you got that, because we could bottle that. we could make this world a whole hell of a lot better.
Oh, but it's true.
Yeah,
it is true.
It is true. And that spirit that says, you know, this is what needs to be done, I'm going to do it.
Yeah. And I know, I find it to be so true, especially with a lot of the people that have moved down here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, majority of them are retired from their professions, whatever it is that they were involved in.
Yeah.
And you'll find more millionaires here in Sarasota than you find anywhere. And so many of them have developed illnesses.
Yep.
In retirement.
They're bored to death.
That's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I keep telling them, I says, you don't have to love a job because you're doing it, or love a profession because you're doing it.
You just have to do it.
You do it for different reasons,
right.
Either for sustenance or for publicity or whatever it is you do it for. But once you retire, see, when they retire, here they go, looking at their watch, what time they're going to die. Because they feel as if their life is ended.
They have no reason.
They have nothing else. They,
yeah.
they performed or whatever they had to do, they did it, and that was it. But they don't realize that's only the first half of their life, you know? So what are you going to do with the second half?
Yeah. Well, we don't train for that, you know, in this country.
That's why.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why you see people in foreign countries, say, 100 and something, and
they're
still
working
going.
In their garden.
Still
they're
going.
Doing whatever it is.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But here we are, you know, if they reach 60,
right.
they're old.
Right.
They consider themselves old, you know. And every living person is here for a reason. We all have a purpose to serve in this life. Whether you like what the purpose is or not, it's yours.
That's so wonderful.
It's true.
I believe you.
It's true.
I believe you. And so are you saying that, and I love that, you know, you're saying it, whether you like it or not, it's yours. Because it's yours, you have to do it.
Yeah. Well, the problem with that is that many times, you know, people are so busy looking at someone else.
Yes.
They don't realize how important they are. They don't realize this. You see, they see someone else doing something, and that's all they say. I want to
do that.
I want to be that. Why? You know, you're here to do whatever it is the good Lord created you to do.
Yes.
And if you would concentrate on that and really put in time and effort, you could be a genius at whatever it is. And it's true.
I think it is.
And you find even the ones that come down here and volunteer their services.
Right.
They are so good at what they do. Some of them have formed different organizations and stuff. They've done so many things.
Right.
The ones that realize that they have that talent.
Right,
you know what I'm
right.
And they have come down here and performed miracles
mm-hmm.
in some of these places, you know, because they realize that now they're free to do what they really want to do with their lives.
Right.
You see, when you're working, you're not free to do what you want to do, unless what you're doing is what you really want to do.
Right. And a fortunate few.
That's it. You see, all I've ever done in my entire life was music. I don't remember doing anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the only thing I really wanted to do. So it wasn't something that I was straining myself to accomplish.
No.
You know, I'm still straining to learn more because I know it's always more to learn in music. It is. You never know enough in music.
Really?
No. You can learn and learn and learn every time you turn around. Something else you can do. That's right.
I believe you. I believe you absolutely. And I
keep myself available. Whatever
it is.
Whatever
well, and you know, as you're never going to really be alone.
Well, no, because if you're doing what you want to do, that's that right. is your companion.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's and music, I mean, you can hardly have a better companion than that.
That's it. That's 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
I have seen people come back to life through my play.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. It's scary as heck to think that these things could happen, but they do. You can't explain it. Cannot explain it. It happened down here. Since I've been down here, it happened twice.
Do you want to tell me?
One fellow, him and his wife, they were very dear friends of mine down here. And he suffered a stroke. He's paralyzed from his neck down. And his wife called me and told me. And I told her to tell him I was coming by to see him. I took one of my electronic keyboards because mm-hmm. I said, well, maybe they might allow me to play for them. So I took it, and I asked the nurse at the desk if she mind go in his room and just play for him for a little while. And she said, no, we'd be delighted. So I said, okay. So I went in, and I started playing. Because they used to attend all the concerts. Him and his wife, they were always there. So I knew the style of music he enjoyed. You know, so I was playing. I kept playing, and his face started lighting up, you know, trying to move his head, you know, doing things. It was amazing to see what was happening just in that short span of time, you know. So I kept playing for a while, and the nurse, two nurses came in and were sitting there at side of his bed. And all of a sudden, they saw the sheet move, and they didn't know what it could be. They turned over the sheet, and he was trying to keep time with his fingers.
With his fingers?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And he was supposed to have been
paralyzed.
Dead from the neck down. He came back, so they put him back in rehab because they found there was a little life left in his body.
Well, yeah, that, you know, we have no idea what is possible.
No.
You know, I wonder if what happened was the life was always there, but the spirit wasn't there until you played.
Exactly.
That you know?
Well, it's amazing. It's frightening when you think about it, you know, the power of music. It's really frightening.
It's wonderful.
But it happened. You know, people laugh all the time when I tell them this. I tell them that my children have always been an embarrassment to me. They have.
Because?
When I was pregnant with them, you know, I never did look too pregnant until I was almost ready for delivery, you know, because I was always a small person. Mm-hmm. So I performed almost up until the last
right.
You know, I put my gown on and I'd go. I
right.
go to do my gig, you know, but I was pregnant with the kids. I would get to the gig, and no sooner I sat down to the piano,
right? Yeah, right. They start kicking, right?
They were dancing. It was. You could see the feet coming through my mouth. Oh my God. And that was the only time they would do that was when I was playing.
Oh, that's a great story.
But it was just something to show you. You see that it starts from the womb.
That's right.
And it actually does. And that was what those children did to me. Well, I tell you, I couldn't get rid of them from that point on. Still can't get rid of them.
No, and why would anybody want to leave you? I'll tell you, I can't imagine.
But it was so much fun, though. I mean, you know. Just to be able to enjoy it to that degree, you mm-hmm. know, and even that was the one thing I could do to shut their mouths and let them go to sleep. Just play a little tune, honey. Leave it up. No more problems.
That's wonderful.
That's good. The music had that charm.
Yes.
It still does. I see now they do that to their kids.
Oh, it's wonderful.
They sing to them, you know, mm-hmm. and they go right off to sleep. Mm-hmm. Oh, you got mm-hmm. to keep those memories going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something you don't have to explain. It's a feeling.
It's a feeling. I know.
Either you have it or you don't. That's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. Everybody can't do it. It's true.
But everybody can love it.
That's right. So those who don't have the talent, are the ones that love to listen.
That's
and
right.
We need them just as much as we need the ones that perform.
It's a sharing thing.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
So Lolette, I have taken up so much of your time and you have been so generous. Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you would like to talk about? Or anything that you would like to say about music, about life, about anything?
Oh my goodness. Oof. So many things that I have been doing in my time. I don't know. Choirs, I conducted bands, I played, I performed, I sang.
If it had to do with music, you did it.
I was there.
Yeah. Okay.
I was there. I don't know what else I could have done that I wouldn't enjoy.
Well,
I know it's nothing I would enjoy nearly as much as just continuing to perform.
It is clear that the world has benefited from this addiction that you have to music. Thank you, dear.
You are very welcome, darling. It was my pleasure, much as my memory will allow.
It's been wonderful.
Hard.
It's been wonderful. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful to sit there in her presence. If you've never seen Lolette, I don't think she's 5 feet. And she can't weigh 100 pounds. And she's absolutely gorgeous. It was a terrific treat to do this interview. And I was very, very fortunate. She was playing in this little club. She just was going to come and sit in, do a few tunes. And I went down to see her. You really actually cannot believe it. You can't believe that hands can do what her hands are doing on the piano. And that, when you recognize that that right hand had been broken and useless, it's unbelievable what she's doing there. And she does everything. She does just what she said. She does hymns, she does calypso, she does jazz, she does standards, she does pop music, there's nothing she can't do. And while she's doing it, she's standing while she's doing it. So her whole body is moving. And you can see that she's having the best time in the room. She is just completely immersed in the action of the playing, of the singing, she's feeling every single note, and she's giggling. She's she's having the time of her life, and so of course, so are you, because it's impossible to be in the presence of that incredible delight and not also be delighted. I feel so grateful to have been able to spend all that time with Lolette and to have this interview. I hope that you appreciated it 1/10 as much as I did. And we're going to go out on another cut from a CD of Lolette's. This is Lolette's version of Little Darlin', which I'm playing because when I listen to it, I giggle. You can hear Lolette's, not only her amazing musicianship, but her sense of humor. But before I play that, I need to thank, as always, the remarkable, completely dependable Josh Hackney, and tell you that if you need any help with computers, electronics, recording, internet, or just figuring your way through another learning curve, you want Josh Hackney. You can get him by clicking Email Me on my website, which is thelynshow.com, thelynneshow. You can, of course, find out whatever you want to know about me. And if you want information about Lolette, you can also ask me and I will get it for you. In the meanwhile, I hope that you got something you can use, something that amused, something that will bring you back next week, because I will be here, and I sure hope you will be too. Thank you.
I'm getting older. My hair is turning gray. Oh, you say my face and figure have both seen better days. Well, I won't be retiring. I won't slip out of sight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a song I keep on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I just keep returning like some goddamn boomerang. No, I won't go. My time has come and gone. Oh, won't I please get off the stage, let someone else get on. Well, I won't be relegated or leave without a fight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night.